As we just heard from Kent Stevens, the characters of Shakespeare endure. And that is why new generations and talents continue to adapt the Bard's plays in new ways. The works of Shakespeare are also pulled apart and analyzed in classrooms and on campuses all over the world. As the body of works on Shakespeare proliferate each year, a few academics wonder if there's anything new to say. Matthew Rees posed that question in an article for the Times of London's Higher Education.
I mean, it seems like an interesting question to ask. I mean, you know, Shakespeare's complete works, I don't know, you could read them in a month or maybe 2 weeks. So it's not an enormous volume of words, and they've been subjected to the most incredible level of analysis for, you know, hundreds of years. And I think one of the particular things, of course, is the editions of individual plays. Half a dozen, maybe 10 publishers produce complete editions of all the plays. And when they've come to the end, they start again. And one does wonder whether do we really need, you know, 10 different editions, 10 different publishers. So how much is it driven by commercial needs of publishers? And how much is it actually about, you know, generating new knowledge or saying things different from what the last person said?
Has anyone ever counted, to your knowledge, how much has been written about the works of William Shakespeare?
I don't know that it has, but I mean, it's clearly far too much for anyone to conceivably read, and there's far, far more written about Hamlet than there is about, you know, any real Dane that has ever lived. So it is quite strange, just the sheer volume of the stuff. And I think people who are experts in the area and find it very hard to keep up, or the real problem, of course, is to find the good stuff among all the bad stuff or mediocre stuff.
Well, the analysis of Shakespeare reflects the time in which it was written. What are some of the ways that the analysis has evolved over time?
Well, I think any of the big issues that, you know, have evolved over time, country, patriotism, war, relations between the sexes, race, you know, these are all perfectly interesting and important things to think about in Shakespeare. They're important to Shakespeare, and clearly the way we think about race has changed a great deal. And I think homosexuality is obviously a particularly interesting example, which was, after all, illegal in Britain until the 1960s, but clearly is a central topic of Shakespeare's plays. I think most people would agree now. That changes both the way the plays are performed, but also the way scholars talk about the plays. I think sometimes the scholars and the theatre directors don't talk to each other enough, but they do talk to each other a bit. So I think there's a constant evolution just because Shakespeare is dealing with all these big issues, and these big issues are, you know, constantly being discussed and analysed and reanalysed and disputed.
We spoke to someone recently in the publishing industry who says, there's just a glut, a deluge of new books. We should just stop. So I'm wondering, among those who say, we've got all we need on Shakespeare right now, are they proposing an actual moratorium on new theses or academic papers or movies or plays?
I think a more frequently expressed concern is that there's just so much. Not that none of it's any good, but that it's very difficult to find the good stuff. So that, you know, it's not that they think nothing should be written. It would be nice if the bad stuff wasn't written, and therefore we could all, you know, it would be much easier to find the good stuff. How you do that, I don't know. But, I mean, it's probably a problem in any, you know, there are lots of bad novels written, and there are some good novels among the bad ones. I don't know kind of how you can control that from above. But I think as soon as you say we've now reached the definitive you know, answer and there's nothing more to say and shut it down, then you kind of, this subject sort of dries up. I think you have to keep saying, you know, looking again and trying to find new things to say. It's just that a lot of it isn't going to be very interesting.
I'm thinking about how my contemporaries hated reading William Shakespeare in high school and then came to love the works of Shakespeare in college when we really got to pick apart his works. But I'm wondering if these books, do they actually change anybody's mind? Does a new analysis of Shakespeare really change anyone's mind?
I think good criticism does make one see things in different ways, yeah. And good criticism also is going to be touching on the themes of the plays, like the nature of love and the nature of aging and the nature of courage and so on. And it can be very illuminating, yeah.
Matthew Rice, reporter and features writer for Times Higher Education, I want to thank you for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you for your time.
Matthew covers intellectual affairs in the arts and social sciences, and we were talking about an article he wrote called Is There Anything New to Say About Shakespeare? There's more word of mouth coming right after the break. Please stay with us.